This audio is brought to you by Muslim Central. Please consider donating to help cover our running costs and future projects by visiting www.muslimcentral.com/donate.
Inshallah ta'ala, we will conclude the tafsir or the sharh of Surah Al-Qalam, of the Surah Al-Qalam. And there's not much left of it. However, what is left of it, to me, is a part of the surah that requires a little bit of work and reflection. It's very important. Like, there's a few verses here that definitely need some time, which is why I try to set it up in a way where I end with this little piece. And even though it shouldn't take that much time, but I think there's something there for it in it. Surah Al-Qalam is one of the longer surahs in this juz'. If you compare it, the first two are the longest in the juz'. They get shorter as you go along, coming down to a page and a half, sometimes 2 pages. Surah Al-Qalam and Surah Al-Mulk, obviously the topics that they're talking about are very vast and quite profound. Surah Al-Mulk talks about the requirement in terms of knowledge. What is it that you need to know as a Muslim? What you should be clear about? We should have no doubts regarding. Surah Al-Qalam talked about our requirements in terms of values, ethics, principles. What we absolutely cannot afford to be, or what we can afford not to be, basically. And this last piece is going to highlight that in a very, very interesting manner. And we're going to start by reading. I'm just going to go right into it, because I don't see the... I'll try and summarize at the end, inshallah, the whole surah, but I think you can just start with the last piece. We'll recite it all together, or recite maybe the first 4 verses, and then we'll talk about the meaning, and then we'll recite the last 2 at the end. So start with ayah number 48 from Surah Al-Qalam. A'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajim. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. فاصبر لحكم ربك ولا تكن كصاحب الحوت. إذ نادى وهو مكظوم. لولا أن تداركه نعمة من ربه لنبذ بالعراء وهو مذموم. فاجتباه ربه فجعله من الصالحين. So the paragraph that we recited last week, that was basically just one ayah that was commented on upon by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in different ways. فَنَجْعَلُ الْمُسْلِمِينَ كَالْمُجْرِمِينَ. Do we equate between Islam and criminality, or lack of ethics, or lack of adherence to law? And then he goes, subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he discusses this topic in different ways by questioning those who dare make that statement or allow for that statement to even remotely exist. And at the end of all that, he would ask the question, he would tell the Prophet alayhi salallahu alayhi wa sallam, leave those who refuse to listen to you, I will take care of them. You don't need to worry about them. You continue to do what you're here to do. You have a job, you continue to focus on your performance and on your job. Are you making a mistake by asking them for wealth, and that's why they're not responding, because they're too burdened by debt? Am indahum al-ghayb, or is it that they have ghayb themselves? I mean, they are receiving revelation from some other source. Fahum yaktubun, and they're writing their own revelation. If that's not the case, then they should be listening to you, but they're not. So what does he do? What is he told alayhi salatu wasalam to do? Fasbir. So he's given alayhi salatu wasalam this command. This is the only command, technically speaking, to the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. If we don't look at the first part of the surah, where there's a 16 attributes where the Prophet, وَلَا تُطْعِ الْمُكَذِّبِينَ وَلَا تُطْعِ كُلَّ حَلَّافٍ and all that. This is a command that exists on its own. فَصْبِرْ. And it's really important because this is what you need. When it comes to ethics, when it comes to principles, when it comes to values, when it comes to our behaviors, the way we are, the only way that you're going to be able to get through life with them is through sabr. You're going to be tempted to lose your values many, many times. And your values will be challenged many times in your life. And the challenge will not necessarily be people challenging you, but the circumstances of life challenging you to see if your values are true or are they not. And the only way that you're going to be able to hold on to your principles is through sabr. This has to be a concept that you carry along with your values. Because sabr is not really a value, if you understand what I'm trying to say here. Sabr is not really a khuluq. It's more of a decision. And is when we talk about akhlaq, we talk about ethics. Ethics like trustworthiness and honesty and loyalty, transparency, lack of corruption. These are ethics, right? Haya, sensitivity, moderation. These are all ethics. Sabr, perseverance, is not an ethic. Perseverance is something that you either do or you don't do. Perseverance is an attitude, like jihad, like striving. When you persevere and you strive, these aren't ethics. You can't say, well, fulan, and he has beautiful ethics, and say he's a mujahid. No, that's not an ethic. Or he's sabur. That's not an ethic. He's like, no, sabur is. No, halim is. Patience is. Patience is an ethic. Al-hilm wal-ana, these are ethics. Sabr is not. Sabr is not. And when you talk about ethics, you'll find that the names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are attached to ethics. That's why he's al-halim, but he's not al-sabur, subhanahu wa ta'ala. Actually, you'll find it sometimes. I've written on those big ones with the 99 names. Al-sabur. Al-sabur is not one. And the people who do this should be more educated. Yani, sabr is not something. Al-halim, that's one of his names, subhanahu wa ta'ala. Al-sabur, no. That's not an appropriate way to describe Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not persevere. Allah persevere? What's difficult for him, subhanahu wa ta'ala? When you say persevere, then you're saying there's something difficult and he's persevering. La la la. Hasha lillah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Nothing's difficult to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So perseverance, to describe Allah with it. I know that whenever you say it, we understand it as a synonym to al-halim. So I know whoever writes this is not meaning to do this wrong. But I'm saying when you come down to the details of the linguistics, when it comes to the nitty-gritty of it, it's not an appropriate word to be used. That's why Allah, whatever his name is, not al-mujahid. No. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because that's not an ethic. So fasbir is not an ethic. Now why is it in Surah Al-Qalam, if I'm telling you that all of these is talking about values and principles and ethics, and then why is it there? Because it's how you're going to keep them. There's no way to keep your ethics or your values without sabr. You have to have sabr, or all of your hard work will go. All of your hard work will be flushed down the toilet if you don't have sabr to protect your ethics and your values and your principles. You live a certain way. You don't cheat. You don't lie. You don't harm. You don't accept mal haram, you don't take bribes, you don't have double standards. All these things, these are your values. The only way to protect them, you have to have sabr, because it's going to be difficult, for sure. That's why this command did not come alone, fasbir alone, no. And then he's told exactly, he gave them example, وَلَا تَكُنْ كَصَاحِبِ الْحُوتِ. And don't be like, within this context, don't be like Sahib al-Hut. Sahib al-Hut, the one of the man of the whale. The man of the whale. Who's he talking about? He's talking about Yunus alayhi salam. The first prophet to be spoken of in the Quran, sequentially speaking, or chronologically speaking. Yani, there's a sequence that the Quran has from the beginning. Fatiha, Baqarah. Who's the first prophet to be talked about in the sequence of the Quran? Adam alayhi salam, right? Ayah number 30. The first one we hear about is Adam, which makes sense. You're starting from the beginning, you're going to hit the first one. But in the chronological sequence, which is when the Quran was being revealed to the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, here's Iqra' bismi rabbika alladhi khalaq. Right after it, here's al-qalam. So the first prophet, the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, would hear about, and there's a difference of opinion here, because we'll come to Muzammil and I'll say something similar about Musa alayhi salam, so it gets both of them. But I think this is probably, I think this is more appropriate. Was Yunus. You got to hear about Yunus alayhi salam. And it wasn't in a matter of praise. As a disclaimer, alayhi salatu wasalam would say the following. لا يقولن أحدكم في الحديث الصحيح عند البخاري لا يقولن أحدكم أنا خير من يونس بن متى عصى الله ولم أعصه. None of you walk around saying, I am better than Yunus ibn Matta. He sinned and I didn't sin. Because some of the Sahaba, and we're told, that once you accept Islam, خلاص, everything that was gone before is erased, and a lot of them lived their lives and never did anything. Like they don't see a large sin. Obviously, there's a lot more there to that wording. But the Prophet ﷺ wanted to make it clear that just because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala points out a flaw or a mistake does not allow you to walk around and belittle Sayyidina Yunus alayhi salatu wasalam. No, but you continue to see him and hold him in high regards. But there's a lesson to be learned from his story. So what is the story? Yunus alayhi salam, it's important because he was told fasbir at the end of the surah alayhi salatu wasalam, and then given the example of Yunus. So we have to learn why that's the case. It's an important piece. So Yunus alayhi salam was sent to Ahl Nainawa, which is today Mosul in Iraq. Historical region of the world, and Ahl al-Mosul are very, they're very proud of their identity and of their history, and it's a place worthy of visiting. Many, many great scholars of our ummah came from al-Mosul. And Yunus was sent to the people of Nainawa, and they were a large population, around 100,000 people at the time. And Yunus was a man of great character. He was a man of great, great character, great ethics. And why? How do I know this? Well, because of the nature of his story. Yunus alayhi salam was never harmed by his people. They refused to believe in him, but they never harmed him because they respected him too much. He was too respectful amongst them. He was way too respected for them to harm him. It's a very, very, very interesting dynamic for Yunus. These little details are important for you to understand so you can figure out why Allah talks about all these prophets and other prophets he doesn't talk about. Because there's nothing new. The prophets that are not talked about in the Quran is because there's nothing in their story that's new, that's different, that can be added, that can add value to the learning process for the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, the Sahaba, and us, yani later on. So every prophet in the Quran, there's a learning value. There's something in their story that is different than the stories of the rest of them that you have to understand. The Yunus alayhi salam, his piece is that people in his qawm, they highly respected him. But kazzabuhu, they completely refused to believe in him. And they pushed it so far until Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told Yunus alayhi salam that this is the last chance for your people. If they don't respond, then they will be punished within a couple of days. So Yunus alayhi salam would go back again and push back with his people again that you have to accept. This is not, it makes no sense that you continue to live like this. And they still didn't listen to him. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sends Jibreel to tell him 3 days and they'll be gone. As happened to the people of Sadum, what Lut alayhi salam did for the people of Sadum. Similarly, what happened to the people of Salih alayhi salam with Thamud. So these examples where they are given an ultimatum. You're going to be punished. And within that time of punishment, even though it's an ultimatum and things would change for them, if they performed tawbah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would still accept it from them. An example obviously is the people of Yunus. So when Nainawa did that, and Yunus alayhi salam came to them, he was extremely upset that they had allowed things to come to this point. So Yunus alayhi salam, he is upset with his people for allowing themselves to get to this point. That makes sense? Like you have someone and you want them to make a different choice. It's like someone who's harming themselves, smoking or doing something, harming themselves. And you come to them and say, you have to stop doing this. Stop doing this, and they won't listen to you. And then finally you get the diagnosis or you're given an ultimatum, this person's not gonna live anymore. So you come to him, you're really upset. Why did you do this to yourself? Because you love them, right? Because you love them. So for Yunus alayhi salam, he loved his people, and they loved him too. It's very interesting. They still, it wasn't like the people of Hud alayhi salam, Ad, who tried to kill him. Same thing for Saleh, same thing for Shu'aib. A lot of them almost got killed by their people. Yunus didn't. Yunus had a good relationship. The reason being is that Yunus was impeccable. His character was impeccable. He was someone that, the values were so high. The ethics were so high, the values and principles were so clear to his people that they couldn't imagine that to harm him. He was so beloved by his people. Similar to that, in my opinion, similar to him, is Sayyidina Uthman ibn Affan, radiallahu anhu. Sayyidina Uthman, all throughout the seerah of the Prophet, alayhi salatu wasalam, find a story where he was oppressed. Go on a witch hunt. Find a story where Uthman ibn Affan was oppressed. No. Sayyidina Uthman, they never did. Even though they accepted Islam, they would tell him, you can do whatever you want, you can stay here if you like. Like Khadija, the Kubra, alayhi salam. Sayyidina Khadija, never been oppressed. Why? Because the people of Quraysh loved them way too much. And their ethics and character was something that, not to say that the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, who was sahib al-khuluq al-azim, no one comes even close to him alayhi salatu wasalam. And there was a lot of envy and hatred, it was a lot of envy that caused the problem, yani, for the people of Quraysh to rule him. But Uthman is a good example that they never did, even though yani he was a Muslim, early Muslim and stuff, and he still didn't. And Yunus is similar. So he came to his people and he said, and he was very upset with them, and he made a mistake. He made a mistake. His mistake was when he got so upset with them that they allowed themselves to get to this point where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's azab is coming to them, that he left. He left the Nineveh, he left Mosul. It is known, it's one of the laws that the prophets and messengers carry, is that you are not allowed as a messenger, as a prophet, to leave the city that you were sent to teach without permission. Even the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, who was sent to the entirety of earth, of this planet, he still was not allowed to leave Mecca without permission from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to leave it. He can go and he can scout out different tribes to support him, but then the decision to leave, to go to that tribe, has to be granted to him by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So he had to wait, and he had to wait. And Abu Bakr, if you remember the story, Abu Bakr wants to go, yani, but the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam would tell him, "Usbir, fa'innahu lam yu'dhan li ba'd." I still don't have permission. Because the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam was hoping that Abu Bakr would go with him. And Abu Bakr deep inside wanted the suhbah as well, but he felt like he didn't have a reason to stick around, if you understand what I mean. It's like, everyone's gone, I don't know why I'm still here in Mecca. And the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam did not tell me directly, yani, that I'm going with him. So maybe I should go. But every time he hinted to maybe I should go, "Ya Rasulullah, take my family," he was saying, Isbir. فَإِنَّهُ لَمْ يُؤْذَلْ لِي بَعْدَ. I don't have the permission to leave yet. And when the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam came to Abu Bakr on that beautiful morning and told him, "Udhina li ya Abu Bakr," Abu Bakr, yani, when he heard "Udhina li," he said, "Ya Rasulullah, suhbah. Do I get companionship?" فقال نعم. قال فبكى أبو بكر تقول عائشة فما رأيت أحدا يبكي فراحا إلا أبا بكر. Aisha said, "I've never seen anyone cry out of happiness. Like, see tears run on his face. They were so happy than my dad, except for my dad. Because when the Prophet ﷺ said yes for Sahaba, he started to bawl his eyes out. He was so happy that he was going to be with the Prophet ﷺ in that beautiful journey. So Yunus ﷺ made a decision. In a moment of anger, out of love, right? In a moment of anger, but out of love for his people, not out of the noon is another name for a whale in Arabic. The noon, the one of the whale, or the man of the whale. إِذْ ذَهَبَ مُغَاضِبًا فَظَنَّ أَلَّا نَقْدِرَ عَلَيْهِ يَقُولُ فِي رِوَايَةٍ. I'll say it in Arabic, I'll say it in English. أَنَّ مُعَاوِيَةَ أتى ابن عباس ليلى فقال يا ابن عباس تلاطمتني أمواج القرآن البارحة فقال ابن عباس وما بك. So there's a story connected to the story of Yunus that I think is nice to tell, is that Muawiyah ibn Abu Sufyan would come one night and knock on the door of Ibn Abbas and wake him at night, and he would say, "Oh Ibn Abbas, the waves of the Quran slammed me around last night." So Ibn Abbas would ask, "What is it?" فقال ذو النون يونس صاحب الحوت ظن أن الله لن يقدر عليه. He said, he asked the question, Yunus, the man of the whale, thought that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So if you read the verse in Surah Al-Anbiya, وذو النون إذ ذهب مغاضبا, and the one of man of the whale, when he went in anger, when he left in anger, فظن, and he thought, أَلَّا نَقْدِرَ عَلَيْهِ, that we would not be able to, نَقْدِرَ عَلَيْهِ, نَقْدِرَ عَلَيْهِ, it depends on how you want to translate it. So in Arabic, if you translate it literally, and you don't have any context to it, and you leave the نَقْدِرَ عَلَيْهِ, that we are capable of apprehending him. So Mu'awiyah said, Yunus, the prophet, thought that God could not apprehend him. This makes no sense, I don't understand. So Mu'awiyah was struggling. فَقَالَ ابْنُ عَبَّاسٍ رحمك الله. May Allah forgive you and have mercy upon you. هذا من القدر وليس من القدرة. This is from the word نقدره, is not from the root قدرة, which is ability. It's from the root قدر, which is decreasing something. نقدره, if you recite in Surah Al-Fajr, وأما إذا مبتلاه فقدر عليه رزقه. قدر عليه رزقه means he decreased his provision. He made things difficult So فَظَنَّ أَلَّا نَقْدِرَ عَلَيْهِ. What it means is that Yunus thought that Allah would not make things difficult for him, wouldn't punish him. That he would get away with this. He could get away with it. That he could leave without permission and get away with it. He didn't, right? That's what this means. So Yunus Aleyhisselam left without permission. إِذْ نَادَى وَهُوَ مَكْظُومٌ. And then he was swallowed by the whale. In a long story that most people know, Jonah was thrown off the ship. He knew the ship was sinking. They needed to get rid of things and people. So they got rid of a bunch of things still sinking. So now they had to get rid of people. So they had a system where it was based on luck. You pull something out of a bag or roll a dice and you have a number, something. So they threw it the first time, it was his number. And the people on the boat said, no. هذا رجل صالح, this is a good man, we love him. That's how much he's loved. Like, no, we're not throwing him off. So they refused. So he did it again, and then his name came out. And they said, no, he's too good. And then he did it again, and his name came up, and Yunus got it. It's like, oh. Yeah, okay. He got it. It's like, this is not, there's something here. So he jumped off. He understood that this, he made a mistake. He jumped into the ocean and he was taken by the whale. إِذْ نَادَى. Then inside the belly of the whale, he would call upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. فَنَادَى فِي الظُّلُمَاتِ أَلَّا إِلَهَ إِلَّا أَنْتَ سُبْحَانَكَ إِنِّي كُنْتُ مِنَ الظَّالِمِينَ. There is no God but you. Indeed, you are exalted from all flaws. And indeed, I am an oppressor. And I made a mistake. إِذْ نَادَى. When he called within the belly of the whale. وَهُوَ مَكْظُومٌ. الْكَظُمْ is a word that describes two things. It describes a problem of space and a problem of psyche. So if I put you in jail, that's sejn. If I put you in a bad mental or psychological space, that's ضيق. And if I bring them together, that's kavum. Right? So there's sejn, where you're just in jail. Right? You're in a decreased amount of space, and there's ضيق, where you're in a decreased amount of mental and psychological space. When I bring upon someone both a decreased psychological space and physical space, is called كظم. وهو مكظوم, when he was in distress, both physically and psychologically, where he felt the heaviness of his sin, and he was stuck in a space where he couldn't move anymore. لولا أن تداركه نعمة من ربه. If it was not for the fact, that's what لولا means, that a blessing from his Lord, نعمة من ربه, تداركه, got him or caught up with him at the last moment. So تدارك means when something occurs at the last minute, a correction occurs at the end, right? If one of the brothers here leaves and I want to speak with them, so I catch them at the أدركته عند الباب. أو تداركته عند الباب. I caught him just at the door before he left. Just before I caught him last minute. Last minute, or else I would have lost it. تداركت القطار. I barely made it to the train. It would have left. So تدارك. So that's what تدارك means. So لولا أن تداركه. If it wasn't for the fact that he was caught up with or caught the last minute by the mercy or the blessing, ni'mah, of his Lord, لَنُبِذَ بِالْعَرَاءِ وَهُوَ مَذْمُومٌ. He would have been thrown out, expelled. And nabz is to expel something. لَنُبِذَ بِالْعَرَاءِ. He would have been expelled into the open land. العراء is an open land. Now he was going to be expelled either way. Yunus alayhi salam was going to be expelled from the stomach of the whale, whether he had said those words or not. But the difference would have been, وَهُوَ مَذْمُومٌ. Had he not said what he said, had he not nada, had he not called upon his Lord in repentance and seeking of forgiveness, and then the mercy of his Lord caught up with him last minute, he would have been expelled into the open land, مَذْمُومٌ, in a status where he is blameworthy. المذموم, right, is the opposite of Mahmood. Mahmood is praiseworthy, something that, yeah, مذموم is blameworthy. Had he not been caught up by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's blessing. But he was, so nubidha bil ara wa huwa mahmud. Meaning he was expelled out into the open land and he was not blameworthy anymore. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has forgiven him fully. And then he فَأَنْبَتْنَا عَلَيْهِ شَجَرَةً مِّنْ يَخَطِينَ وَأَرْسَلْنَاهُ إِلَى مِئَةِ أَلْفٍ أَوْ يَزِيدُونَ. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had a certain tree, yaqtin, grow upon him and cover him. It has big leaves and covered him, and it repels flies and other types of insects. So his skin was able to heal. And then when once he was okay, he was sent back to 100,000 or more, which are the people of Nineveh. Because of his mistake, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgave the people of Nineveh. You know, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because he made a mistake, he held the punishment. He halted the punishment and turned it to Yunus. And Yunus went back and the people accepted. فَآمَنُوا فَمَتَّعْنَاهُمْ إِلَىٰ حِينَ. So what part of Yunus alayhi salam's behavior should the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam not have? Because Yunus technically speaking, saved them when he did what he did, right? When he decided to leave, he ruined the system. The system is, you tell your people, you stay with them. And then you'll be given permission to leave, you leave, and your people are punished. That's how this is supposed to happen. He didn't follow protocol, alayhi salam. He left early. So he ruined the system. So the system was halted. And then he was taken into the belly of the whale. And when he came out, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgave him because he noticed that he had made a mistake. He was sent back to Nineveh to continue the system, the protocol. But now the people of Nineveh, they thought about it again. They revised themselves and they accepted. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgave them and accepted their repentance. So technically, Yunus alayhi salam's mistake was that he left. But what is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? فَجْتَبَاهُ رَبُّهُ. Let's finish the idea so I can go back. فَجْتَبَاهُ رَبُّهُ. And because of that, and based on that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala performed ijtiba upon him. Ijtiba means choosing something for a good purpose. Ijtiba is to choose something for a good purpose. It's similar to istifa. Ikhtiyar is when you just choose something. Istifa and ijtiba are similar, but with some differences that I'm hesitant to go through right now. Because it's going to take a long time. But there are some differences between istifa and ijtiba. And the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam huwa al-mustafa. Istifa is when you're being, and this is like to make it simple, istifa is when you're choosing something for a good cause from a lot of good things. There's a lot of purity and you're choosing the purest. Ijtiba is when you're choosing it and it's not all good stuff. Right? So Yunus alayhi salam ijtubi min ahl min qawmihi. His people were not doing very well. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ijtaba. He chose him from a bunch of people who were kuffar. The Prophet alayhi salam was tufi. He was chosen from a lineage of salihin. A lineage of Ismail and Ibrahim. He was chosen from those where he was chosen from the best alayhi salatu wasalam. He wasn't chosen from the worst. He was chosen from amongst the best alayhi salatu wasalam. All of the prophets of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, was chosen from amongst all of that. So istifa, which is different than ijtiba. Anyways. فَجِتَبَاهُ رَبُّهُ. And his Lord chose him for something good. فَجَعَلَهُ مِنَ الصَّالِحِينَ. And he made him one of the great men of his time, one of the great people. So what is it exactly from Yunus alayhi salam's story that the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam has to learn from in the negative? Because he's called وَلَا تَكُنْ كَصَاحِبِ. Don't be like the person. Like why? اجتبيته يا رب. You chose him. وَجَعَلْتَهُ مِنَ الصَّالِحِينَ. And you also made him one of the great people, one of the pious people. And نَادَوَهُ مَكْذُومٌ. In the moment of severe distress, he called upon you and you heard his call and you accepted him and he received your ni'mah. Sounds to me that they're all good stuff, like it's all good things. So what exactly is the Prophet ﷺ told not to do? Well, the first word explains it. فَصْبِرْ, he told him. He told him, be perseverant. Don't make the mistake of Yunus, where he lost his cool last minute. See, Yunus, at the end, lost his cool. He lost his perseverance. He had been perseverant the whole time, just working with his people, being perseverant, holding his own. And then the last minute, when he was told that they're going to be punished, he lost his cool and left. What this ayah is telling us, actually, is that the people of Nineveh, within those 3 days, were going to accept Islam anyways. You just made this more difficult for yourself. You lost your cool last minute. Like, you could have just waited for a bit. And they would have come around. But you didn't, so now this was going, what happened had to happen in a much longer, it's like my ears over here. Why? Wait for a moment, just wait. Why did you lose your cool? Why did you lose your perseverance and your patience last minute? He did, alayhi salam. That was his mistake, he lost his patience. And he left before the time was up. And had he waited, the people would have accepted Islam, he would have saved his people, and he would not be known as the one of the Hoot, the man of the whale. Like, he wouldn't have that story for him. He wouldn't have to spend time in the belly of the whale and come out and all this that need to occur. No, it would have worked out anyways. What is going to be will be. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's mercy will find its way to people. And that's why he used the word tadarakahu. Because Yunus alayhi salam lost his perseverance at the last moment. Which is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had his blessing catch up with him at the last moment. This is why he used that word. Because Yunus, all he had to do is just, you've done amazing, Yunus. Barakallah, you have been impeccable with your character. You've made no mistakes. People still love you and respect you. Now you have to tell your people they're going to be punished. Hold until I tell you you're ready to go. Just hold. He didn't hold. Just last day. Last day he lost his cool. And he got upset. Mughadiban. That's what the ayah says. He got upset. He got angry. He allowed his anger. He allowed his anger to overcome him. It was an ethical problem. It was a value problem. He allowed anger to find its way into his heart, and he didn't have enough sabr to push that back and protect his principles and his values, so he ended up in a predicament. He ended up in a predicament himself. His people would have accepted, meaning his people were going to come around. First day, second day, third day, they would have come around and said, Ya Yunus, we are sorry. La ilaha illallah. And then he would have done La ilaha illa and subhanaka inna kunna min al-zalimin with all of his people instead of doing it alone in the belly of the whale. Instead of doing it alone in the belly of the whale, he would have done it with his people. But a different story for Yunus alayhi salam, but you weren't perseverant enough. You lost your grit. I've heard the word grit. Yeah. He lost his grit. You need sabr, you need grit. You need perseverance. You have to be in it for the long haul. You have to be able to hold on until you feel that it's absolutely useless to hold on. Like, and then you have to hold on harder. And then it gets so dark that you can't even see your hand as you're holding on, and then you hold on even harder. Because that's how it works. You can't, it's the moment that you decide to give up, that's your loss. As long as you're holding on. You see, the guy who doesn't stay down has not lost yet. It's the guy who stays down. As long as he keeps on getting up, it's not over. Your enemy bargains on you in life, bargains on you staying down. That's what they bargain on. When you're playing, you know this, if you play a game of some sort or a sport, you just want your enemy to surrender so that you can feel, oh, khalas, you won. As long as they haven't surrendered, you're still worried about the fact that you may still lose. And this is the reality of the world. It's only when you stay down. It's only when you refuse to stand up again. It's only when you refuse to continue to hold on. Falsbir, just hold on. Your job is to just you figured out what the values are. You figured out what the ethics, and you understood the story of Ahl Ashab al-Jannah. You understood what it means to have a legacy of principles, and the importance of holding on to them. You understood what it means to have khuluq azim. Then hold on to it. Persevere. Don't let anything shake it. Don't let anything take that away from you. Don't ever do something based on anger. Don't lose your temper. Just hold on. Don't be like Sahib al-Hut. He made his story unnecessarily difficult. He made his own story unnecessarily difficult. He didn't have to do any of this. None of this was needed. It was going to be taken care of anyways, but he couldn't do it. He lost his cool last minute. But because he was a great man, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepted his repentance and accepted the repentance of his people. Like, all of it worked out. Like, the whole thing worked out, but the point of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam story, and within this story as well, also for the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, is the inevitability of iman. It's inevitable. Those who are going to accept iman are going to accept it, and those who aren't. It's inevitable. You can't dictate who's going to do it and who's not going to do it. You can't force people. You can't. All you can do is just hold your ground. All you can do is just be perseverant in the face of all of the challenges that are going to be thrown your way. And don't lose your hope. He lost his hope. Sayyidina Yunus alayhi salam. When it's the third time around, his name came up. It dawned on him. Sitting on that, sitting in the ship there, it dawned on him that he had made a grave mistake. At the beginning, he didn't make sense to him what the mistake was. But then he figured it out. It wasn't over yet, was it? I was told to give them 3 days with punishment, but it wasn't over yet. They weren't gone yet. They were still there. Based on what did I decide that they're not worthy anymore? Based on what did I walk away and lose hope in them doing it? Based on what? Understand his problem? It dawned on him that it wasn't actually over yet. Like, they were still alive. I gave them the ultimatum. And of course, Yunus knows the stories of all of the previous nations, so what happens at that point, which is why he... But technically speaking, it wasn't over yet. They were still there. He doesn't know that if they give their tawbah, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala won't accept it. He doesn't know that. It's an ultimatum, but he doesn't know that if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if one of these people who have the ultimatum say, "Ya tubtu ilayka ya Allah," that he won't accept it from. He doesn't know that for sure. He's not in a position to make that judgment at all, is he? So it dawned on him that, yeah, that really wasn't my job to begin with. I understood. Yeah. Okay, I get it. That's why he didn't object. Once it, he jumped off. Yeah, khalas. I know, it's my fault. And once he was in the belly of the whale, he understood what that meant. There's a lot of symbolism in the story of Jonah, for sure, that I am hesitant to go into, but see, it's in the belly of the whale that he... In Arabic, the whale is the noon, right? And noon is what we call it. That's what it's called, al-hut. And both words have very interesting meanings in the Arabic language. But it was inside that hut or that noon that Yunus alayhi salam figured out exactly what he needs to say. Like how to... Because it also comes back down to how you apologize for something. Like sometimes you can apologize for something and it makes it worse. You ever had someone come and say, "Oh, I'm sorry you feel that way"? Sorry, I apologize for what you said. Don't apologize for my feelings. You apologize for my feelings or my feelings? I'll apologize for my feelings if I want to. You apologize for what you did. Sometimes an apology can be even worse if you don't actually believe that you're wrong. Like if you don't believe that you're wrong, you can't. How do you apologize? If you don't believe that you're wrong, you can't really apologize. Yunus alayhi salam had to figure out what he did wrong. And he had to actually believe that he was wrong. You understand the problem? He had to figure out that he was wrong and believe he was wrong in order for what he said to have any meaning. So he was put in the belly of a whale, right? In the middle of the sea. In a place where there's no, where technically he's not alive anymore. Where technically he doesn't exist anymore. Where technically there's no scientific way to fully explain how he survived all of that. And he's stuck there, he's still alive. He has nowhere to move, he has nowhere to go. And death at that moment is probably easier than life. Like in a moment like that, being dead is probably easier than being alive. There are things that are worse than death. So he's in there, but it's in there that he figured out what it meant. He had to go back to Batn al-Hut. He had to go back into the belly of the whale, which is a symbolism, the Arabic language. It means that you have to go back into the parts of your nafs and your soul that you've never gone into before. The use Batn al-Hut, it's used in the Arabic language before Islam, to symbolize the part of your spirit, your soul, your psyche, your mentality that you don't want to think of, you go in there because it's a mess, it's scary. Because it's very scary there, you don't actually want to know who you are or what you think and what you believe because it's a scary thing. So he's put in Batn al-Hut literally so that he can understand it symbolically of what it meant. They need to go back and figure out where you were wrong, where you went wrong here. And he had to really dig deep down to figure out where he was wrong. That you're not in a position to judge people. You don't get to decide. You don't get to decide. I don't care how many mistakes they made. You're not allowed to decide whether Allah will forgive them and accept them or not. You're not the judge and you're not in charge of any of this. You're given a task, you do it. You're asked to adhere, to uphold certain behaviors and certain ethics. You uphold certain ethics. You hold on to them. You don't allow anything to come between you and them ever. And he figured it out. It's almost to tell him that you almost ruined the whole thing. The inevitability of their iman was almost ruined by your stupidity, by your mistake, alayhi salatu wasalam. By your mistake, you almost ruined it. Where did you go? How are they going to give the shahada if you're not there? How are they going to give the shahada if you decided to leave? Why would you leave? So I just said, la ilaha illa subhanak. I don't know what I'm doing. I was wrong. I'm wrong. I oppressed them. By leaving before you told me to, before it was the last moment, So the Prophet alayhi salam is told, right, he's with Quraysh. Now read these verses from his perspective, alayhi salatu wasalam, at the beginning of his da'wah. Fasbir, you have to be very patient and perseverant with them. They're not going to listen to you up front, and they're going to absolutely drive you crazy. They're going to drive you. They're going to make it life really difficult for you. They're going to kill your loved ones. They're going to have you. They're going to force people out to a different continent. They're going to try and murder you multiple times. Fasbir. It's because of this ayah the Prophet ﷺ never truly lost hope in Mecca and in Quraysh. It's this, because of this understanding at the beginning of Islam. When Badr happened, the Prophet ﷺ still wished that they would accept Islam. And when Uhud happened, when Khandaq, he was still hoping that the people who came to fight him would accept their hidayah. That he still hoped that they would, because it's his people. It's his people. He was taught that don't ever lose hope. You're not allowed to. But they're fighting me. It doesn't matter. لا تكن كصاحب الحوت. Don't lose hope. إذ نادى وهو مكذوم. He had to be put in a position where he was in full distress in order for him to make sense of it and call upon us. And then we caught, and we got him last minute, just as he did. So that's the meaning. And there's a lot in SubhanAllah, in the story of Yunus, that's worthy of contemplation. But this is what he's being taught, alayhi salatu wasalam. Don't make the mistake of Yunus and then give up earlier. Or give in to your whims and desires, and give up one of your ethics and your values. Even if you think there's no hope, it's not up to you. Fasbir, just hold your ground. Just hold your ground. And he did, alayhi salatu wasalam. Right? He did, and Abu Sufyan and Sakhr ibn Harb accepted Islam. Right? And Ikrim and Abu Jahl accepted Islam. And Safwan ibn Umayyah accepted Islam. These people accepted Islam. It took them a long time, but they did. I'm no one to judge when you're going to do it. It's not my job to judge when you accept and when you adhere and when you repent and when you become better. It's not my job. Neither is yours. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has been generous with you and He's opened the doors of His love to you and you bathe in His love subhanahu wa ta'ala, His compassion, don't be hasty to judge people who have not yet arrived at that. No matter how many times you call them and they still don't come, you're not in a position to decide, well, they'll never accept. No. They used to say, you know the saying, right? The saying in Mecca during the Prophet ﷺ's first 4 or 5 years of Bi'athah was whenever they talked about Umar ibn al-Khattab, they would say, لا يسلم عمر حتى يسلم حمار الخطاب. The Umar will not accept Islam until the donkey of his father accepts Islam. Like the donkey of his dad is closer to Islam than he ever will be. Because they never saw any hope. He was extremely difficult. He was very aggressive. He was very well spoken, of course, radiallahu anhu. So they didn't see any hope of this man. Little did they know. Little did they know that he would be one of the anchor characters in the story of our deen, in the story of our ummah, in the story of Islam. No one in the first 4 years would ever imagine that he would ever be a part of this. Mustahil. No. لا تكن كصاحب الحوت. Don't lose your cool. Hold. Hold until the end. Tasbir. So the story of Zirat Yunus has a lot of optimism in it. And Allah subhanahu just wanted the Prophet ﷺ to learn this one mistake he made. Don't make that mistake. Don't lose your hope. And he didn't, alayhi salatu wasalam. Which is why he continued to always call people to Allah, even when they had shown that they absolutely had no interest in ever doing it. This is why one of the beautiful narrations Ibn Hajar has in Al-Matalib al-Aliyah, with the proper chain, he would say that when Abu Sufyan came to the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam during the Fatih of Mecca, he came and he knew what he had done and what he was worthy of at that moment. And he was with the Sayyidina Abbas ibn al-Muttalib, right? And Abbas is like, I'll protect you, we'll get there, you apologize. So they asked Sayyidina Ali, what should I say? فَقَالَ إِذَا رَأَيْتَهُ قُلْ تَاللَّهِ لَقَدْ أَثَرَكَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْنَا وَإِنْ كُنَّا لَخَاطِئِينَ. He recited for him the piece of Surah Yusuf. Because he knew if he said that to him, the Prophet ﷺ will absolutely respond the way Yusuf did, for sure. He's a Prophet ﷺ. He learned the Quran. Why he learned the Quran? So you can practice it when you're given the opportunity. You don't give the Prophet ﷺ an opportunity to practice the Quran, except he'll take it. So Abu Sufyan would come up to him and he would say, and if the Prophet would see him from afar, he'd say, Ya Abu Sufyan, takthibu alayhi? Ta'tini fil Medina, takthibu alayhi? You come to Medina and you lie to my face. I ask you, did you guys break in? And you lie to my face. So Abu Sufyan didn't say anything. He just came up close and said, تَاللَّهِ لَقَدْ آثَرَكَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ. So he responded, لَا تَثْرِيبَ عَلَيْكُمُ الْيَوْمِ يَغْفِرُ اللَّهُ لَكُمْ وَهُ أَرْحَمُ الرَّاحِمِينَ. Immediately the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام, Ali knows him well. Sayyidina Ali knows him well. And then the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام قال, يَا أَبَا سُفْيَانَ هَلَّا قُلْتَ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهُ. قَالَ فَقَلَّبَ أَبُو سُفْيَانَ كَفَّيْهِ. Abu Sufyan went like this.
قال يا محمد ما أوصلك ما أحلمك ما أرحمك. Oh Muhammad, how patient are you? How compassionate are you? How loving are you? ما زلت في هذه. You're still trying to get me to say لا إله إلا الله. You still care. Now after all of this, فقال قلها يا أبو سفيان. فقال أبو سفيان والله لو كانت هذه الآلهة تنفع شيئا لنفعتنا اليوم. If all these gods we had any value, they would have helped us today. لا إله إلا الله. فقال قل محمد رسول الله. فقال يا محمد ففي النفس من هذه شيء. As for this one, I still don't have it. فقال له. Right, fine. He didn't say. Imagine how hard-headed this man was. He wasn't ready to say that piece yet. صلى الله عليه وسلم. He learned. فاصبر لا تكن كصاحب الحوت. This is the beauty of learning the Quran. We recite it. فاصبر لا تكن كصاحب الحوت. Listen to what you're being told here. The one mistake that Yunus made, don't make that mistake. Don't lose hope. You're not allowed to. You're not allowed to. You have to continuously persevere. You don't know when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made the decree that they'll accept their deen. The inevitable will occur. You can't stop that. Just stay the course. And don't be like him. Everything else worked out perfectly for Yunus alayhi salam. But he made that one mistake. We'll recite the last two verses, inshallah, and explain them. وَإِنْ يَكَادُ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا لَيُزْلِقُونَكَ بِأَبْصَارِهِمْ لَمَّا سَمِعُوا الذِّكْرِ. ويقولون إنه لمجنون وما هو إلا ذكر للعالمين.
So the final piece of Surah Al-Qalam has this absolutely mesmerizing ayah. This is a very important ayah that you must understand. I take opportunities to explain it often because I think it's just very, very meaningful. After you've heard the continuum of Surah Al-Qalam with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talking about the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam's ethics and principles, and then the 16 principles that the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam that we were commanded not to have so that we would have the opposites, which are the character of Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam, and after the story that talks about the sanctity of the legacy of principles and ethics, and after the comparison between Muslimin, or the inequality and the fact that there's no overlap between a Muslim and a Mujrim, between someone who accepts Allah and someone who is a criminal, someone who lacks ethicality or lacks the ability to adhere to Allah. And after the Prophet ﷺ is told that you need to protect your ethics and your values with perseverance and don't make the mistake of Yunus, he is given this final piece of advice. This is what he says, وَإِنْ يَكَادُ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا. And the disbelievers are in a position where they are almost, يَكَاد, they're almost able to do something. What is it that they're almost able to do? لَيُزْلِقُونَكَ بِأَبْصَارِهِمْ. This is the wording. Yeah? يَقُولُ يُونُسُ أَحَدُ الْمُفَسِّرِينَ قَالَ مَا سَمِعْنَا بِالزَّلْقِ وَالْإِزْلَاقِ إِلَّا فِي الْقُرْآنِ. The root زَلَقَ exists in Arabic, right? But the usage of this term, the derivative that we have here within this verb, some scholars, some of them, claim that it was never used before the Qur'an, that the Qur'an used. And that's the beauty of the Arabic language, that once you have a root, a three-letter root that has a meaning, you can derive all these things from it. And sometimes the derivative may not exist in the pre-Islamic era in terms of the Arabic language, or but it's still an Arabic word because it's derived appropriately. And this one is claimed to be a word that was not ever used in this derivative before Islam or before the Quran. Wallahu a'lam. I don't know, but that's what they say. La yuzliqunaka, zalq is for something to be removed or something to lose its balance. That's what zalq means. فانزلق is when something slides or it slips. لا يزلقونك means that they are trying to cause you to slip. With what? بأبصارهم. With their eyes, with their looking. So not بعيونهم. بعيونهم would be their eyes, right? That's easy. بأبصارهم is the act, by the act of looking. Really, this is just like the delicacies of, or the intricacies of the Arabic language. بِأَبْصَارِهِمْ is not really their eyes, it's more of the act of looking. to be accurate. So he's being told, alayhi salatu wasalam, here that indeed the disbelievers are almost getting you to slip by looking at you. Subhanallah. This describes perfectly a state of envy, or a state of disgruntlement, or a state of frustration. When I'm looking at you, and I just wish you would slip. Not literally. Obviously, the literal meaning here is almost, yani, there's nothing to it. Like this, honestly, there's nothing you can understand from the literal meaning. Figuratively speaking, even in English, this works perfectly. If I say figuratively that I wish someone would slip, what do you understand? A banana peel? Or do you think of someone making a mistake? Someone making a mistake that I can catch and say, Fulan, he said this, or he did that. And I can use that against that person, right? I can continue to use that one mistake against that person to tarnish to ruin his reputation, or tarnish his name. So the disbelievers are in a state where they're almost getting you to slip just with hasad. Like they're looking at you, just wishing that you would slip. Just make a mistake. Make a mistake. Come on, make a mistake. Just make a mistake. They're looking with this envy that he just won't make a mistake. Just say one thing wrong. Just do one thing wrong. Just one thing. Just one thing. So that we can absolutely ruin your reputation. لَمَّا سَمِعُوا الذِّكْرِ When did they do this? When did they do this? They had nothing against him, alayhi salatu wasalam. They were like Yunus, they loved him. It's لَمَّا سَمِعُوا الذِّكْرِ It's when they heard the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When the shahadat al-tawheed came in the Qur'an. When the Qur'an came and started to shake the status quo. When the Qur'an started to ruin things for them. It started to take away from them their sanctity, the holiness of their facade that they put in front of people. When the Qur'an came and did that, they got upset. Because it was all just coming together with him, alayhi salatu wasalam. Everything. What he was saying was perfect because it comes from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And his character was impeccable. He made no mistakes, alayhi salatu wasalam, ethically. He never lied, he never betrayed, he never broke an oath or broke trust. He never harmed anyone. And they were looking at him and just make a mistake. Make a mistake, they're just staring at him, just slip up once. And he didn't. So what did they say? وَيَقُولُونَ إِنَّهُ لَمَجْنُونَ So they said, he's a madman. That's not an ethical problem. Go back to the beginning of the surah. نُون وَالْقَلَمِ وَمَا يَسْطُرُونَ مَا أَنْتَ بِنِعْمَةِ رَبِّكَ بِمَجْنُونَ The surah started with this, you are not a madman. As a disclaimer. As if Surah Al-Qalam gave a disclaimer at the beginning. So that when this ayah was recited, you didn't misunderstand it and say, well, was he? No, he wasn't. Just in case when you read at the end, after this whole build-up, you don't come to this ayah and you're like, well, is there some truth to this? No, at the beginning of the surah, he is not. بِنِعْمَةِ رَبِّهِ With what he has been given, the dhikr that he has been given, he is not a madman. When you read at the beginning, if you remember when I first did tafsir, I kind of explained it quickly. I kind of jogged through it. I didn't really take too much time. I focused وَإِنَّكَ لَعَلَى خُلُقٍ عَظِيمٍ because that's where the verse, that's where the surahs, like the weight of the surah exists. But I kind of jogged through that first part because I knew that I'll explain that at the end it'll make sense. So, and that's the beauty of the Quran. Sometimes you're reading like, what is this? Just keep on going. Fasbir. Just be patient. Be persevering. Just keep on going. It'll make sense. It'll all come together at the end. Don't worry. All of the strings will come. It'll draw the perfect picture at the end. Just keep on going. And they'll say majnun because madness is not an ethical problem, right? It's not an ethic, it's not a principle that you broke, it's madness. But why did they say mad? It's because they couldn't get him to slip up. He wouldn't slip. And they couldn't force someone to lose their ethics. But they looked at him with the ayn of hasad. With the ayn of, they used their ayn, their hasad, their envy, of their jealousy that just slip up. وَإِن يَكَاد They almost did it. With their abusar, everyone was looking at you, hoping you would slip up, because you were too good. you understand that there's a la ilaha illallah. There is an innate human desire to see a great person fall. If you haven't experienced yet, you're just lying to yourself. Just go back a little bit. We all experience this. We all experience where someone walks into the Someone exists in the context now that's just really good. Everything about him is good. Everything about her, she's just good. Everything is good. To a certain degree, she's kind of better than me in all the stuff that I thought I was good at. In every way. A part of you, deep down inside, hopes they slip up. Because if they slip up, then you can at least say, well, at least I didn't do that. Well, at least, yeah, they're nice and everything, but I didn't do that. And that's how you can justify that you're not, they're not superior to you anymore. Because a part of you feels like, yeah, they seem to be way better, acting all mighty and high, acting all moral, that they're good, that they don't, you know, they're acting that way. And you're like, a part of the person deep down inside wishes that they could just find a flaw, like an ethical flaw. Oh, but they do this, or oh, but they speak that way, or but they had this lack. Oh, they have a problem back in the day. They did. The human being is like that, right? The people of Quraysh were so envious of him, alayhi salatu wasalam, because he came into the Sahih. He entered their world, and there was just nothing. It's like, well, there must be something. People have that idea. There must be something. Dig up his history. Dig up some filth. Find something. Go look at his internet history somewhere. Figure something out. There must be something we can hold on to. There must be something wrong about this person that we can use. They do this in politics all the time, right? Yeah. They go after the character. Go after the character because it's a great way to get people to stop trusting someone. Go after their character. You can say, Trump is absolutely insane. People don't care. Tarnish his character. But they don't seem to care about that either for some reason. I don't know. I don't understand them. I don't understand the Americans. I don't understand them. But madness is not... A lot of leaders were mad. A lot of leaders, historically, have been mad, have been insane, have been schizophrenic and have, you know, actual problems. It's not, people don't see that to be a problem. It's the ethicality. Are they stingy in bakhil? Do they steal wealth from others? Do they lie to people? Do they stab people in the back? That's something that people will... Yeah, because it's a low ethic. We don't like that stuff. They couldn't find something on him, alayhi salatu wasalam. They couldn't. So they tried to the best of their ability with their act of looking at them. The superstition of hasad and ayn, that peace that they had that was way more than we have today. The superstition that they had, hoping that if they stared at him long enough, they can get him to slip up. لَيُزْلِقُونَكْ. But they couldn't. Because he didn't, alayhi salatu wasalam. Imagine if he did now. Now imagine if he did. Imagine if he just made a common mistake. One day he didn't uphold the ethics and values of our deen appropriately. Imagine if he had done that at some point, alayhi salatu wasalam. They wouldn't have to say majnoon then, would they? They could go right after that, right? They could go after, right? What are the verses? Mukathib, mudhin, halaf, maheen, hammaz, bashaa, binami, manna' al mu'tad, athim, utul, zaneem. They want one of those words. Those words are way more, they have more credibility. They wanted to say one of those words, but they couldn't find one. So they had to say majnoon, madman, because that was the closest thing that they had. Because they couldn't find anything, because he didn't slip up. When you represent Islam, you have to understand that you're in a similar position to him, alayhi salatu wasalam. You are in a similar position to the Prophet, alayhi salatu wasalam, where your slip up is going to be used to tarnish the legacy of Muhammad, alayhi salatu wasalam. Your slip-up will be used to tarnish the legacy of this man and the legacy of this book that you read. You slip up, and then they have something to say. Well, look at them. Well, look, he did this. These are not good people. Why? Because they made this mistake, and you tarnish, you ruin the reputation, the legacy of your deen and of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam's hard work because of a slip-up. You have to learn to hold your values and your ethics and your principles. Hold and sabr. It's hard. It's hard. Even if you can't even slip up for a good reason. You would have slipped up for a good reason. He loved his people. Not even that. Sorry. You cannot. You have to hold your... A deen without akhlaq is not a deen. فَنَجْعَلُ الْمُسْلِمِينَ كَالْمُجْرِمِينَ. What are you talking about? You can't have someone who has a deen and has no ethics. You can't. It doesn't exist. It doesn't work. We can't equate Islam and Ijram together. They're not the same. They're not. They'll never be the same. So when you accept Islam and you say, La ilaha illallah, you're held to a standard you have to hold yourself to. You have to hold yourself to that. You have to uphold it. Or else you ruin all of this. Which is why the last word is, وَيَقُولُونَ إِنَّهُ لَمَجْنُونَ وَمَا هُوَ. And all he is, alayhi salatu wasalam. This huwa, scholars have disagreed upon. Huwa as in the Qur'an. My sheikh gave this understanding that I absolutely love. Huwa is Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam. Wa ma huwa illa dhikrun lil alamin. All Muhammad salatu wasalam is a reminder to all alamin, to everyone, of how to do it right. Of how to do it right. Of how to, it's a reminder to us all of how to uphold the proper ethics and the proper principles and the proper values despite all the difficulties that come with that. That is what Surah Al-Qalam talks about. I hope that was a benefit to you. Subhanallah, bihamdihi, shukran la ilaha illa ant, astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk, wa sallallahu wa sallam wa baraka ala nabiyyina Muhammadin wa ala alihi wa sahbihi. Jazakumullahu khair, barakallahu feekum. Assalamu alaykum wa ta'ala wa barakatuh.
الله أكبر الله أكبر أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن محمدا رسول الله حي على الصلاة حي على الفلاح قد قامت الصلاة قد قامت الصلاة الله أكبر الله أكبر لا إله إلا الله
استووا استووا استقيموا تراصوا اعتدلوا أقبلوا على الله بقلوبكم الله أكبر الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين لقد سمع الله قول الذين قالوا إن الله فقير ونحن أغنياء سنكتب ما قالوا وقتلهم الأنبياء بغير حق ونقول ذوقوا عذاب الحريق ذلك بما قدمت أيديكم وأن الله ليس بظلام للعبيد الذين قالوا إن الله عهد إلينا ألا نؤمن لرسول حتى يأتينا بقربان تأكله النار قل قد جاءكم رسل من قبلي بالبينات وبالذي قلتم فلم قتلتموهم إن كنتم صادقين فإن كذبوك فقد كذب رسل من قبلك جاءوا بالبينات فقد كذب رسل من قبلك جاءوا بالبينات والزبر والكتاب المنير كل نفس ذائقة الموت وإنما توفون أجوركم يوم القيامة فمن زحزح عن النار وأدخل الجنة فقد فاز وما الحياة الدنيا إلا متاع الغرور لتبلون في أموالكم وأنفسكم ولتسمعن من الذين أوتوا الكتاب من قبلكم ومن الذين أشركوا أذى كثيرا وإن تصبروا وتتقوا فإن ذلك من عزم الأمور الله أكبر سمع الله لمن حمده الله أكبر Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. الله أكبر. الحمد لله رب العالمين، الرحمن الرحيم، مالك يوم الدين، إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين، اهدنا الصراط المستقيم، صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين. آمين. وإذ أخذ الله ميثاق الذين أوتوا الكتاب لتبيننه للناس ولا تكتمونه فنبذوه وراء ظهورهم واشتروا به ثمنا قليلا فبئس ما يشترون. لا تحسبن الذين يفرحون بما أتوا ويحبون أن يحمدوا بما لم يفعلوا فلا تحسبنهم بمفازة من العذاب ولهم عذاب أليم. ولله ملك السماوات والأرض والله على كل شيء قدير. الله أكبر. سمع الله لمن حمده. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. سمع الله لمن حمده. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. سمع الله لمن حمده. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، الحمد لله رب العالمين، اللهم صل وسلم وبارك على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. وبعد، يروي الإمام أحمد في مسنده بسند صحيح ذكر invocation and the mentioning and remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is a very beautiful hadith, and wallahi, yani it's worthy of everyone kind of knowing and keeping in the back of their mind at all times. قال عليه الصلاة والسلام ألا أخبركم بأفضل أعمالكم وأزكاها عند مليككم وأرفعها في درجاتكم وخير لكم من إنفاق الذهب والفضة وخير لكم من أن تلقوا عدوكم فتضربوا أعناقهم ويضربوا أعناقكم. قالوا بلى يا رسول الله. So he said, he asked this question alayhi salam, he said, should I not tell you about an action that is the best of your actions, like a ritual or a behavior, a command that is the best of your actions, and it's the most beloved, azkaha, the most pure in the sight of your Lord, and it causes your darajat, your levels in Jannah, to be increased the quickest. It is the quickest reason for you to make your way up into Jannat al-Na'im. And it's better for you than spending your dhahab and fiddah for the sake of Allah, spending your wealth. And it's better for you to be in combat, in battle. You meet your enemy and you yani, take a hit their necks with their sword, and they hit your necks with their swords. Which is obviously and really, like it's a big, introduction by the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام is very heavy, honestly. And this hadith, had it not been yani, sahih hadith, it's hard to yani, to even understand. But this is what he's saying عليه الصلاة والسلام. This is contextual, obviously. At certain moments, all the other behaviors are more important. It's contextual. So if someone's starving to death, then giving them wealth is going to be yani, of more importance. When you're being invaded, fighting your enemy is going to be more important. So what he's saying here, alayhi salam, is contextual, meaning that in general, generally speaking, at times of peace, in times of moderation, then there's a certain action that is better than all of these things that you may think are of high status. So they said, but yani, what is it, ya Rasulullah? Yes, tell us, what is it, this one thing? فَقَالَ عَلَيْهِ الصَّلَاةُ وَسَلَامُ ذِكْرُ اللَّهِ تَعَالَى. Period. That's it. He said nothing else. This is a very short hadith. Go look it up if you don't trust me on it. Go look up the hadith and read the sanad and go through it so that you, because it's a very heavy thing. Like the wording of the Prophet in this hadith is very like, oh, this is a lot. And then his answer is dhikrullah, the remembrance or the mentioning of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is better than all of these deeds. Because it's the essence of these deeds. Because it's the essence of these deeds. There's a difference. If these deeds existed without this one inside, they don't mean anything. If you give your wealth, but inside you don't see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with your heart, you're giving it to Him. If you're giving wealth, but you don't see, it's not Allah whom you're giving.
You're not doing it because you recall and remember that this wealth belongs to Allah and I'm going to give it back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If that doesn't exist, then it doesn't matter. If you're standing in battle and in your heart you're not standing to defend the name and the word and the teachings and the legacy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and that's not, that doesn't mean anything. So alayhi salatu wasalam is doing it in a comparative manner. But really, he's trying to explain to us that the essence of it is the dhikr of Allah. If you waqim as-salat, why? Waqim as-salata, why? The Quran says, waqim as-salata li dhikri. You're going to perform your, establish your salah. What's the point, ya Rab? Li dhikri. So that you may mention, speak of me, so I can speak of you. Because you have to go back to the big first khatira that I gave. You speak of him, he speaks of you. You come close to him, he comes closer to you, subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is the relationship of, this is the nature of the relationship. So salah itself established for his dhikr. And everything that you do to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has to have his dhikr in it. And dhikr is not just the saying of the words, it's the presence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in your mind and in your heart when you're doing things. It's the fact that the reason you do it is Allah. The one you do it for is Allah. The period, when I come to someone, we're going to do this, we're going to do it because we want to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That has to be clear. If you remove that, then how does anything have goodness in it? How does anything increase your status? How does Allah see anything to be pure? How does any action of giving your wealth or standing in combat, the two most important things, committing your wealth and defending Islam, what's more important? Those two things don't have much meaning if the dhikr of Allah is not within it. That's why this one action, habit at all times, it doesn't matter. You're always remembering Allah. So whether you are praying, you are walking, you are lying down, you are studying, you are teaching, you are fighting, you are giving your wealth, doesn't make a difference. You're going to be fine because you're carrying the dhikr of Allah in your heart as you go along. And without that, it doesn't. Without it, there's not much. He doesn't need our money or our lives. He doesn't need them, subhanahu wa ta'ala. What he's looking for is the essence of it. So do these things. Of course you need to do these deeds, but you have to make sure the essence is correct. The remembrance, who is it that you're doing it for? Who do you see with your heart? It's Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And if it's not, then we're in trouble. We're in trouble. And that's what he means by this, alayhi salatu wasalam, in this hadith. Wallahu a'lam, that's how I understand it. يروي الإمام أحمد في مسنده بسند صحيح عن معاذ بن جبل رضي الله عنه قال قال النبي صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم ألا أخبركم بأفضل أعمالكم وأزكاها عند مليككم وأرفعها في درجاتكم وخير لكم من إنفاق الذهب والفضة وخير لكم من أن تلقوا عدوكم فتضربوا أعناقهم ويضربوا أعناقكم فقالوا بلى يا رسول الله فقال ذكر الله تعالى صدق رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك لا إله إلا أنت استغفرك وأتوب إليك وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على نبينا محمد